I figured I would begin where I want you to begin where I began with this message. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. And then you can go over and hold your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Because I believe this one scripture that we start with is better explained in this other passage. And so we're going to see this. And I've entitled this message, "What is it to be in Christ?" What is it to be in Christ? Or what is union with Christ? The apostle says, he in verse 14, he says, I God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation in Christ. And that's what I want us to dwell on out of this verse. These two words, in Christ. What does Paul mean when he says, "For in Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation"? What does he mean, in Christ? I do pray God the Holy Spirit would show us what this means. Now, every believer in Jesus Christ, everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, I want you to grab a hold of this with all your soul. You are in Christ. You are in a spiritual, a real and a vital union with the Son of the living God. We who are in Christ do not glory in anything of the flesh. We who are in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. We say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. So then we who are in Christ, Paul said, neither circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't avail anything. It doesn't have anything to do with our union with Christ. He said, if you're in Christ, that doesn't have one lick to do with it. What does is, you are a new creation. That is the manifestation of our union with Christ, the new creation. Not whether you are circumcised or you're not, whether you obey the law, whether you're part of a church or you're not. That doesn't have anything to do with this union. That means that none of our works, none of our merits, none of our obedience to the law has any part with this union with Christ, nor is it any evidence of our union with Christ. Neither circumcision. That's what he's talking about. No obedience to the law is evidence that you're in Christ. Now listen to this. Neither is your sin evidence that you're not. Just as your obedience has nothing to do with it. Listen, your sin cannot make it void. It doesn't have anything to do with your union with Christ. So what is Paul saying by this? He's saying this, that your union with Christ is a sovereign act of the will of God alone. You're in Christ because God put you there. The sovereignty of God is surely a profoundly deep subject, is it not? Can you find a bottom to the sovereignty of God? How often are we confused at things that go on, and how often do we doubt His control over all things? Yet God is absolutely sovereign. The doctrine of absolute sovereignty is unfathomable to the human mind. Men by nature are unable and unwilling to comprehend it. So then they deny the sovereignty of God. That's the result of this. We speak of the sovereignty of God. They strive to remove the scepter of omnipotence from the hand of God. How can you do that? How is that possible? They twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. But God said, I declared the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that were not yet done, saying this, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So then, seeing that a man by nature is depraved and ignorant, incapable of knowing God, rightly has one asked, canst thou by searching find out God? Can a man by searching in books and knowledge find out God? Can he go into the wilderness and find out about God? Can he study the trees and creation and find out about God? No! He cannot know God. It is high as the heavens. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. You want to know something about God? If you know anything at all about God, you know a thimbleful of the ocean. That's about it. A drop. We know so little. And man by study can never find out, naturally. In this vain religious generation, countless millions have set themselves against the doctrine of God's sovereignty. They would reject it over their favorite doctrine, free will. Why do men reject the sovereignty of God in salvation? Because they love free will. They hate sovereignty because sovereignty digs at the very root of their false doctrine. If God is sovereign, man doesn't have a free will. You got that? You can't have both. Either God is sovereign or man is. There are not two sovereigns. So when you say things like God is ruling over all things, including the salvation of men, they would rather have fate or luck or chance than to have the sovereign God rule over all things. They would rather have these things so long as they can have their will as part of their salvation. So long as they can add one of their works to the work of Christ, they'll do away with the true sovereignty, absolute sovereignty of God. But it doesn't matter, does it? It does not change the truth of God's sovereignty, does it? No. Deny it if they will. Fight against it. God is sovereign. He is. Our God is in the heavens and hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He is sovereign over creation. Our God is sovereign over providence, over every circumstance, and therefore we know He is sovereign in the salvation of sinners. So then, our union with Christ is an act of God's sovereign will. Now, go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see how this develops throughout this verse, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. And I've got 3 points about this union, our union with Christ. First of all, our union with Christ is of God. Of God. Secondly, our union with Christ affords us great blessings, such as wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And thirdly, our union with Christ always yields one fruit, praise to God. It always gives glory to God. Now let's see these together. Our union with Christ is of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of God are you what? In Christ Jesus. Listen, though the word sovereignty is not there, it's stamped all over the text. It's stamped on every word of the text. of God, you are in Christ. Believer, this is the foundation and source of all our spiritual blessings and salvation. It is the root of our union with Christ, so that all who are not in union with Christ have no spiritual blessings. If God hath not put you in Christ, you have no spiritual blessings. Such was Esau. Esau was a man that God hated even before his birth. In an act of sovereign will, he was not put in union with Christ, but left to himself. So then let us trace out our union and see where it begins. See where it begins. It begins and is rooted in the sovereignty of God. Our union with Christ is of God. Now then, what does this mean, of God? First of all, it means that we are in Christ by the purpose of God, by the will of God, the sovereign will of God. Remember that whatsoever God pleased, He did. And I want you to see that God was pleased to put you in Christ. He willed to put you in Christ. And this not in time, but eternity. Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Where are all spiritual blessings? They're in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to what? The good pleasure of His will. This is the root cause of your union with Christ, the sovereign will of God, the sovereign decree of the Almighty. Who then can oppose His will? If God has willed you to be in Christ, who should stand against Him? Who in heaven or earth could stand against omnipotence? I like this. I think it was Isaac Watts that wrote this, or Newton. Who shall in thy presence stand and match omnipotence? Ungrasp the hold of thy right hand and pluck the sinner thence. Who? Don't you see that since your union with Christ is the will of God, that there was no way that it could be removed? That His will, His decree is an eternal decree of God. Are you in Christ? Who then shall take you out of Christ? No one. No one. God willed it. But not only an act of divine will. That's one thing, isn't it? If someone just will, how many times have you just determined to do something and you didn't like to do it, but you just did it anyway? You had to give over something to someone because you wanted to seem pious or whatever reason, but yet you just disdained it. It just rubbed you the wrong way to have to do it. Listen, this did not rub God the wrong way to do this. He did it out of an act of sovereign will, but it was not just will. It was love. Of God are you in Christ by love. Our Lord Jesus tells us plainly the greatness and depth of God's love. You want to know how much God loves you? See if you can measure this. Our Lord Jesus said this about our union with Him. Listen, He said, "And the glory which Thou gavest me, I give to them." that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them. Now, union, I in them. And thou in me, that they may be perfect by one. That's talking about himself. He was going to make them perfect by himself. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. How much? As much as you love me. You get that? Your Father loves you as much as He loves His Son. In fact, He doesn't love you outside of His Son. He never can love you outside of His Son. He always loves you in His Son. Herein is love. I don't know much about love. But if I want to know love, John says, here it is. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Don't look at that. Please, please don't look at your love for God and try to measure His love for you based on that. No. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved the world, His elect who were in the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. God so loved us from eternity and willed us that we should be in Christ. And willed that Christ should accomplish our salvation. Of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us. So loved and so determined was God to save you, He put you in Christ and made Christ to be your representative. Made Him to be your high priest and representative. And so then Christ came into this world and did what? He accomplished our salvation as we were in union with Him. Don't you see Him walking around, living the perfect life? You know, I was there in Him. That was my representative man. He was doing that on my behalf. He was doing that on the behalf of everyone who was in Him. And He accomplished my redemption by dying on that tree. When He died on that tree, so did I. And when He rose again, so did I. I was in Him. But this sovereign will and sovereign love that put us in Christ, we could not see or experience it until God revealed it. Now, right? How many years was it before God revealed this union to you? You had no union with Him whatsoever. There was a time where we had literally, physically, no union with Him. Spiritually, no union with Him. Until He made it manifest. And this is the third part about this. The sovereign union willed of God by the love of God shall be manifest to all the elect in an experimental union. Don't you see that? That everyone He put in Christ, everyone He gave to Christ, they will experience this union without exception. All of them will. Though we were in union with Christ from eternity and loved of Him, yet we were born spiritually dead. Born without the Spirit of God. Without union. Isn't this what the Scripture says in Ephesians 2? He said this, that at that time you were without Christ. What does that mean? It means you were without Christ. You had no union with Christ. You had no manifestation that you had union with Him in eternity. You had no manifestation that you had union with Him while He walked upon the earth. You were without Christ. He says in another place, we were children of wrath even as others. What does that mean, children of wrath? Well, that means you were haters of God. That's what that means. Just like everybody else. But now you believe in Christ. What made the difference? How is it now that you have the experimental union with Christ? Here it is, Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy. That's just what I talked about. Sovereign will, sovereign love. That's the mercy of God. But God, who is rich in sovereign love and mercy, who put us in Christ, for His great love, His immutable love, wherewith He loved us from eternity. Even when you were dead in sins, even when you were without Christ, listen to this, hath He quickened us together with Christ. You were in union with Christ. And hath raised us up together. You were with Christ when He was raised. And made us, got that? Made us to sit together in heavenly places. Your union with Christ, you were sitting with Christ in heaven. For what purpose? That in the ages to come He might show, manifest the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Here's how. Here's the manifestation. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everyone that God put in Christ, make no mistake, they will come to Christ. They will have a vital, real, experimental union with the Son of God. That's what our text in Galatians says, isn't it? In Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but what? How do you know you're in Christ, Paul? Well, it's not by circumcision. Well, I wasn't certain. Well, it's not by uncircumcision either. Here it is, a new creation. That's the manifestation that you have union with Christ. Are you a new creature? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Now listen. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you have no claim to union with Christ. Now listen, you can know all there is to know about this union. You can study it. You can learn about election. You can learn about the doctrines of grace. You can know all there is to know about a union with the elect and a union with Christ. But except you have the Spirit of God in you, you have no claim to it. Only those who are born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Only they who are made new creatures in Christ Jesus may know of their union with Him. So, knowing then that union with Christ is the sovereign will, the sovereign love of God, that is manifest. Are you born again? If you are not, you are without God and without Christ. And none of these blessings are yours. You have no claim on them. Now, if God, by His grace, give you life, then you may have all the claim to these things of being in Christ Jesus. So then, what is the evidence of our union? It is this: faith in Christ alone. What is true faith? If faith is the evidence, what's true faith? Faith is a ceasing of all works to merit salvation and resting only in Christ and His work. That's what faith is. faith is fully trusting Christ. Now, what is the evidence of faith? Because anyone can say, I believe, right? How many people in Scripture said they believed, but yet they were proven false? What is the evidence of true faith? It is love. Love for Christ, love for the gospel. Faith worketh by love. These two are inseparable. So do you have faith? Do you have love for Christ and His Word, His people? Then you may have claim. I am in Christ. On what grounds? God put me there. How do you know? He made a vital union in my very soul by a new creation. A new creation. And this is the promise of Christ, that all that the Father had given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So this is the Father's will, that all he had given Christ he should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Now, I want to give you four illustrations very quickly of this union. The Scripture gives us several, but there are four main pictures, so as we can try to take in how close we are to Christ, how in union we are with Christ. The first one is this: the vine and the branches. Our Lord said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Except you abide in me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. See the vine. Very simple picture, isn't it? See the vine coming out of this planted. It comes out of the seed. It grows up the wall and it's singular at first, isn't it? The vine comes out and it sprouts up the wall, and all you see is the stem. You see that one vine. But what you don't see is this. All of the branches are pre-programmed into the vine. They're there, you just don't see them yet. You know, they were in the seed, right? When you have that seed, you know, all of the programming for that plant is in the seed already. You plant it, and when it comes out, you see what was in there. So it is with these branches. They were already in. And then springtime comes, and all of a sudden you see the buds coming out of the vine that were already in there. They come out and they sprout, and then they begin to grow leaves, and then the fruit begins to hang off of these vines. That's a picture of our union. I am the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. And so then our union with Christ is a vital union. If you were to cut off the branch, imagine a beautiful branch blowing off of that vine. A strong branch, a thick branch, full of leaves and fruit. Cut it off from the vine, and what do you have? You have a dead stick. Even so it is with us. Our union is a vital union. A necessary union. Without me, you can do nothing. This is the truth that every believer knows and feels within their own souls. That Christ is the source and spring of all our life. I know that outside of Him, I would die. But in Him comes all the nourishment and strength I need to serve God. That's a union, isn't it? The second figure is the temple, the building. Paul said this in Ephesians 2. He says, and you are builded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple, in whom you are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Don't you see the building? There it is, at the very corner of the building is the cornerstone. The cornerstone of the building. Don't you know that all the weight of the structure rests on the cornerstone? What happens if you have a faulty cornerstone? If the cornerstone is cracked, it could not support the weight of the building. The building would fall. But listen, just as Jesus Christ is the living cornerstone laid of God, a sure foundation stone upon which all the church, all the souls of God's church are built on Him. Don't you see that our union with Him shows us this in this picture, that all the responsibility of our salvation is on Him. All the weight of our souls rest on Him. Let us rejoice in that He is our surety, our guarantor, that He bears all the responsibility. The government shall be upon His shoulders. Are you in union with Christ? Good, because all the responsibility for Him to bring you to glory is on Him. And listen, I'll just give you the end. He finished the work. That stone is set and it's sure and it doesn't move. Thirdly, the head and the body. Isn't that a picture of our union? He is the head and we are His body. You know, I know this. My head has never been without my body and my body has never been without my head. I came out that way. You came out that way. What a picture. Don't you know that you've never been outside of Christ? Ever? That He's always been your federal head? You're in union with Christ? He's always been your head. And you know what that means? That means He is our ruler. If we are in union with Christ, as the head rules the body. Listen, I put my hand on this because my eye saw it. I can lean on it because my mind has already determined that this can hold my weight. Now, my hand did absolutely nothing on its own. Isn't that right? It did as the head directed. Where are you going? What are you doing? You're doing and going exactly as the head leads you and guides you. That's how vitally in union you are with Christ. He in you and you in Him. He is always with you, always leading you, always giving you wisdom and understanding. My hands could have no understanding had not my head given it. And you could have no understanding had Christ not given it. Now listen, sometimes my feet don't have to know what my hand's doing. Sometimes God don't tell us what He's doing over here. That's all right, He's your head. And whatever part of the body you are, perform that function. He'll guide you. Strengthen you, give you the ability to do it. And the last one's marriage. What a picture of union. This picture is the love of the union, doesn't it? Marriage. It says, there shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. These two shall be one flesh. Don't you know this? That you are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He was betrothed to you. You were betrothed to Him. You were betrothed to Him by God. And He in love bought you. Redeemed you, purchased you from the slave market of sin, from underneath the justice of God. He bought you for Himself. And then in time He brings His bride to Himself. And we become one with Him. And one thing about this marriage, it never ends. This marriage never ends. He says, I betroth thee to me forever in righteousness and judgment and faithfulness. We are betrothed to Him. So are you in Christ? Then listen, He is your vine and you are the branches. All the supply of your life comes from Him. He is the cornerstone and you are the building. All your salvation rests on Him. He is your head. You are His body. He rules and leads you. You are His beloved bride, and He shall never leave you nor forsake you. This is what union with Christ is. It is one with Him. Are you in Christ? All who are in Christ are made then to see their need of Him. Do you see your need of Him? Do you know the guilt of your sin? All who are made to be in union with Him were made to feel our guilt and know His nature, know our depravity and inability to be accepted with God. And then in grace He comes in the gospel and His Spirit, and He shows us the perfection of Christ. He shows us that life, by His life and by His death, He satisfied God's justice forever. He reveals that His righteousness is the only acceptable righteousness. Therefore, in the power and grace of God, we are moved to heal. You know, I always love that picture of Israel on the brink of the Red Sea. He hemmed them in. They could not go forward. They could not go to the right or to the left. They could not go backward. So what did He say? Go forward. And that's what He tells us. Come to Me. Go forward into the sea of God's justice, and it will part for you. Why? You are one with the Son of God. One with the Son of God. Can justice touch Him? It did once, but no more. And so then, what does that mean? All that belongs to Him, you listen, belongs to Me. Now, if you can believe that, may God help us to do that. We should embrace that and take that as far as you possibly can. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. Because we are in union with Him. His righteousness becomes ours. His redemption becomes ours. He said, I give unto them My glory. This is what it is to be one with Christ. I knew I wasn't going to be able to finish. I'm just going to quickly give you these four things that belong to you. Look back at your text in 1 Corinthians. Of God, by His sovereign will and love, are you in Christ Jesus, now being manifest by the Spirit of God in the new creation, through faith in His blood, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom. You had no wisdom. God said, I made Christ to be all your wisdom. To the world, Christ is what? Foolishness. But to us, He is the power and the wisdom of God. Herein is wisdom. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? I know. How do I know? Christ is my wisdom. Christ is the only way God can be just and justify the ungodly. He's my wisdom. You know that? You know that because you're in Christ. And He's given that wisdom to you. Righteousness. He has obtained righteousness. As my federal head, He obtained righteousness by His own, listen, obedience to God. He came and took my nature and as a man obtained righteousness on my behalf. And then by grace and power, He imputes that righteousness to my charge. And at that appointed time of union, He imparts that righteousness in the new nature. Righteousness. What is righteousness but active obedience? Isn't that righteousness? Isn't how righteousness obtained is by active obedience? And by His righteousness, we are justified. The law looks at me and says, there's no sin in him. He's justified. He's righteous. There's no punishment for him. That righteousness is mine. Why? God hath made him to be unto us righteousness. Sanctification. Now here's a good one. Holiness. Holiness. God hath made him to be our holiness. What's the difference between righteousness and holiness? I had to muse on this for a while. It took me a long while to muse on this. But this is what it is. Righteousness deals with the actions or obedience of a man, whereas holiness is just a state of being. God, who is holy, does righteousness. So Christ, with all of His works, has made us righteous. But He's done more than that. He has made us holy in our being. Don't you know that? You are holy. That's what that new creation is all about. That new creation was created, how? Holy. Paul says that we are created after God in true what? Not righteous. Holiness. It's just who you are. Don't you know you can't change who you are naturally? Well, guess what? You can't change who you are spiritually either. Nothing you do outwardly will affect the holiness of the other nature. It won't. It can't contaminate. It won't. Just as the holiness won't do anything to the old man, the old man can't do anything to the new man. Listen, you just are holy. With His holy garments on, I am holy as the Holy One. Now, can you believe that? Now, I don't look in the mirror, you won't see it. Listen, I wouldn't tell you such things if God didn't tell you. Didn't God make Him to be your sanctification? So what does sanctification have to do with your works? For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. That doesn't have anything to do with your new creation, your holy nature. That's what God purposed you to be. And that's what Christ has made you to be. Holy. And He's our redemption. Redemption has to do with buying, doesn't it? Purchasing out of captivity. We were captive to our sins. Captive only to our nature. Under the bondage and dominion of Satan. Under the justice of Almighty God. And Christ redeemed us by His blood. Once for all. O sinner, receive it. Once for all. Oh, brother, believe it. Scriptures have told us He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has redeemed us. And what's the glory? What's the end result of all those who are in Christ? Paul says, as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Don't you see all this is of God? Can you not see that all of this was outside, done outside of you before it was ever done in you? And when it was done in you, it was just as permanent as when it was done outside of you. Who then shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor life, nor death, nor any other thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is, listen, in Christ Jesus. Are you in union? How sure is your union? It's as sure as the will of God It assures the love of God. It assures the righteousness and death of Christ. It is sure as the resurrection and ascension of Christ. It is as sure as He is our Savior and King. Pray that God would be pleased to show us and give us such faith to believe these things. I tell you, we wouldn't fear as much if we believed these things. I tell you, we wouldn't be dismayed as much if we would believe these things. God, give us faith to believe these things. And give Him the glory. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.